The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I want to begin this message today by asking all of us a few questions. I'd like for us to consider, is Jesus in you just a saying? I mean, what does it look like on a daily basis in our personal life? What does it look like? Do we realize the uniqueness of this in all of God's creation? Do we realize the intimate contact God maintains with us as His children, meaning children of the Most High God? Is Jesus in us just a saying? So with these questions in mind, if you would, please go with me to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 15. Philippians 2, verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Please realize, brethren, God intends that we shine, and that is part of the reason He called us. I have entitled the message, Our Call to Light. So, brethren, as we continue our own self-examination for the coming Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread, here let me ask the question. Have some of us in the Church of God fallen asleep? Or, on the other hand, are we up and shining bright lights? You see, brethren, it is all about doing God's will, and it is about giving God the glory. Go with me to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, we're going to read verses 13 through 15. Ephesians 5, 13 through 15, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. It always adds in other words to explain what it's talking about. And so I don't always use this. I study it a lot, but I don't always use it in sermons. But I thought this would be a good one. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 13, Amplified Version. But all things become visible when they are exposed to the light of God's truth or God's teachings, for it is light that makes everything visible. For this reason, he says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you and give you light. Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil, not as the unwise, but as the wise, the sensible, intelligent, discerning people that you are. Now, if you would go with me to 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to Him. We were bought. We gave it to Him. He owns us. Psalm 119 in verse 105. Psalm 119 verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Romans 13 and verse 12. Romans 13 and verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness And we could interject there. What are the works of darkness? Well, to put it in as simple a form as you can get, it's anything that is not amplifying who and what is God. It's not shining upon Him. It is not glorifying who and what God is. That would be not keeping His truth, not keeping His way of life. So let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And I think we need to remember, brethren, as long as Jesus was in the world, as long as He was walking around in the world, as long as Jesus was in the world, He was the light. Now, that's an interesting point. It's an interesting statement. Now, with that in mind, if you would, go with me to Galatians 2:20. You have this memorized. We read this so many times. It fits in so many different messages. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, therefore, brethren, because of this verse, we know. Let me restate this. Because of this verse, we know He is in us. Therefore, we need to ask, is He, as the light of the world, shining in us? I mean, do people see Him in us? Now, notice something with me that Jesus stated, and I'm going to read a few different passages here. So let's begin here and just notice some things that Jesus made statements about. First one is in John 9, verse 3. We begin John 9, verse 3. Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, made known. God's works are going to be manifest through whatever's happening to this man in this illustration that Jesus is talking about. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 8 and verse 12. A little bit earlier, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whosoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Whosoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Galatians 2:20, Jesus Christ in us. The point here, brethren, is real simple, but I don't know that we always focus on it to make it clear, to light it up. We were called into the light to go back into the darkness to proclaim Jesus as the light to the world. Now, I don't mean we go back into sin. That's not what I'm talking about at all. It's just kind of a catchphrase that I wanted to use. But go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 beginning in verse 3. John 1 verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Or as it could be translated as the darkness has not overcome it. If there is any light others can observe in us, it all has to be connected to the source of light, which is Jesus Christ. which is Jesus in us. And then when you think about all the attention that light gathers, and it does, the light must be seen to glorify God the Father. So the point is, we have to start by asking, is Jesus really in us? And therefore, if he really is in us, is his light reflecting to us, onto others, that is glorifying God the Father? I mean, all of this is just to come down and to ask that one question. So let me ask you here. Let me ask you, is the opposite of being a light being in obscurity or anonymity or darkness? We weren't called to any of these. We were called to be light. I want to ask here, and I'd like for us to consider a couple questions about the fact that we are to be shining lights to the world, reflecting Jesus in us. I want us to start by asking the question, as we serve other people in Jesus' name, is this light steady or flickering, or is it on a dimmer switch? How we are reflecting Jesus Christ and how we serve other people. I mean, I know that we know, brethren, for some very, very long period of time, the earth was covered in darkness. This is the world in which we live in now. This is the earth in which we live in now. It was a time period when it was covered in total darkness. We know that. It also becomes plain to us that God makes his will known to us in the very beginning of Genesis on this topic of our being called to light. God spoke, and we realize the one who doing the speaking here, of course, is Jesus Christ. He spoke, and the light entered into the world. We also know from this very beginning, we know that the earth also had no form. So let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis 1, verse 1. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then we know, I'm not getting into it, just going to make the statement, then becomes all the chaos and confusion that Satan interjected into it. And so then in verse 2, we have what we call the recreation of the world. So in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then we could read it. And then because of all the chaos and confusion became the recreation, the earth was without, or became as a result of the chaos and confusion. The earth was without form and void. The Hebrew words there are tohu and bohu. And those words mean waste and confusion. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and the God said, let there be light. And there was light, because God said so. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. He separated the two. He separated the light and the darkness. And God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And brethren, the question that I think that we need to consider here and think about is, do we see the symbolisms in these verses? God intends to bring form and order in place of tohu and bohu, waste and confusion. We see this from the very beginning. Sin entered into the world, and God didn't want that. And so he spoke, and the world, he flipped the switch on, and he lit it up. And then he separates the two, because the two do not mix together. And so we see that God intends to bring form and order in place of waste and confusion. And what we see is that he does this from the very first by making light available. As with the recreation of the earth, the light is powered by his Spirit. Light dominates darkness. I mean, think about how one tiny candle, small little flashlight, anything can be seen for a great distance. I've done this. You've probably done this. You know, see yourself walking in a very non-moonlit night, you know, when it's very, very dark, and it's very, very, you can, you know, like you could almost feel the darkness, and you pull out your flashlight. Well, so many people today, they pull out their cell phone, and it has a flashlight on it, but that's neither here nor there. But they pull out a flashlight, and what does it do? It overpowers the darkness. You can see, and that is the point. That's the analogy that God is using way back from the beginning. We should get the point that we can see how such even a tiny little light can dominate the darkness. It overshadows it if it is with the intent of overpowering, overshadowing the darkness. But man loved darkness better than light. And that also goes all the way back to Genesis, where Satan brings darkness, sin, chaos, and confusion upon the earth. Now, notice Jesus' words over in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Matthew 5 verse 14. You are the light of the world. Huh. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither can men light a candle and put it under a bushel. You can do it, but no one's going to see it. And that is his illustration. That is the point that he's making. But they put it on a candlestick. In other words, they lift it up for the purpose so that others can see the light. That's the purpose. It's an awesome illustration here. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. Therefore, I'm reading in the word, it doesn't say it, but the inferred is there. Therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Which is the purpose? To glorify God. This is not about self. This is about God. This is to glorify God, his will being done. He wants light to overpower darkness. It's symbolic. He is in the light. Satan is in the dark. You are the light into the world. We are reflecting Jesus' light in us. Notice what we're also told back in the Old Testament, back in the book of Isaiah 60 and verse 1. Isaiah 60 verse 1. Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise, shine, For your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness, some translation has it as obscurity, shall cover the earth, and gross darkness, some have it as deep darkness or gloom, on the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be obscene upon you. So when Jesus says, you are the light of the world, please understand, we are the light of the world, but it's not us. It's Jesus Christ in us that is reflecting out. As we choose, as we obey, as we continue to live God's holy way of life, that's what we're reflecting. And this is what this verse is saying. This is what this verse is certainly implying. And brethren, we need to know, for us to shine steadily and brightly, and therefore that is what we're to be doing, there must always be the truth. There must always be God's truth. And that requires God's word in us. So please understand, God's process for a shining light requires that his word shines through the power of his spirit in our hearts and in our minds, shining out to others. There's so much symbolism in all of this. We talk about this process, we talk about these kind of things, but we don't necessarily refer to it so much and refer to it as being light. So today I want to put a little light on this. Please also understand, brethren, we are not shining. No, let me put it this way. If we are not shining what God has given to us with others, then we need to ask, are we really letting our lights shine? Another way of asking it is, are we really living God's holy way of life? Are we really reflecting God's truth? They're all synonymous. They're all synonymous. Because the thing is, the people will look at what we are and what we do because we are, quote, believers. Or if you want to use the word Christian. But because we are believers and who we are, do they see darkness or do they see light? I mean, we tell people, whatever conversations may come up, yes, I'm a member of this Church of God group. I am a member of the body of Jesus Christ. Are they seeing light or darkness? Remember that Jesus said, the light on the hill cannot be hid. So, as we prepare for Passover, there are some questions that I think that we need to consider, that we need to be asking ourselves in the context of what we've talked about to this point. A list of questions. Are we really shining, really reflecting Jesus in us? That's a yes or no. Another one, is our conversation suitable? In other words, is what we talk about, is it really reflective of Jesus Christ or is it darkness reflecting what's of the world? Are our conflicts righteous or shady? Are we godly examples to others? Is our behavior and our communication in line with God's truth and his way of love? Now, I mean, every one of these questions, the answer to me is pretty straightforward. It's either yes or no. Now, the right answer of what God wants is, yes, I am reflecting Jesus Christ in me. Yes, I am reflecting Jesus Christ in me. Yes, I am reflecting Jesus Christ in me. But the answer is, which one is it? Are we allowing God's kindness, His patience, His generosity, His joyfulness, His peacefulness, His gentleness, and His self-control to shine through? I think it's pretty clear, but I want to make this statement. Light is inferred when we speak of truth. And also understand, truth is inferred when we speak of light. Let's notice what the Apostle Paul told Timothy when he said, to show himself approved. And he said it in several different illustrations. He told him several different examples. So let's go to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. First of all, he tells him, he says, let no man despise your youth. Or let no man despise you because you're young. So what has young or old got to do with this? It's really plain. Don't let anyone despise you because of your fact that you're young, or that you're middle-aged, or that you're old. If you're a Christian, you're living God's way of life. Don't let anybody despise you because of it. And then he goes on and says, but be you an example of the believers, those in the church of God. Now, he's talking to Timothy, who was a church pastor. I mean, so the context there is talking to a young man who's a church pastor, but it talks about anybody who is a believer in Jesus Christ. These same principles are there. But be you an example in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Are we an example of these things? Are we being light to the world? The NIV, New International Version, the B part of this verse says, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. We could kind of reword this in another way. Let no man despise you because of your standing for the word of God and truth. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever been criticized by somebody who understand they've come across and they know that you believe a certain thing. I don't know if you've ever been ridiculed or put down or whatever. Yes, I have. It doesn't really last real long because if you know the Word of God, you can come back and go, okay, well, this is what the Bible says. Why are you doing this? And it turns the tables back on them too much. I mean, it's... But let no man despise you because of the fact that you are standing for the word of God. You're standing for the truth, or because you're standing for God's love or God's way of life, or because you're standing for other believers, or because you're standing up for Jesus Christ, for all of these things that are light. And you got to remember, most of the people that we come in contact are in darkness. They don't know this. And so we have to be gentle in that sense, but you flip the light on, which is truth, it's exposed. They then have got to either cover their eyes or run or whatever, or say, show me what you're talking about. Because the fact is, brother, no, we are to be examples of all of God's truth, all of God's way of life in this world. And what we need to realize is, in the context of this message today, that is light. We being an example of God's way of life, that is light in this world. Because they don't see it. Because they're in darkness. They're not hearing God's truth in most places. And brethren, as we're looking forward to the coming of the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, and we're self-examining ourselves, I think that it would be wise for us to use this as a beginning yardstick for our own behaviors as we look forward to the Passover and unleavened bread. Are we doing this, yes or no? And of course, we know, we understand, but again, it's a statement that I want to just speak out there and put it out in the open. And God is the source of all light, and He is also the source for the tools and the opportunities we need to become a light for Jesus Christ wherever we are. Whether we're talking about in our homes, or whether we're talking about in our neighborhood, whether we're talking about at work or at school, or whether we're talking about at the grocery store, or whether we're talking about on the jogging trail, or wherever it may be. I think you get the point. Wherever we are to be the light to the world. And that would be reflecting Jesus Christ in us, and that would be reflecting the truth of God, the Word of God, living in us, coming out, and others see it. They may not like it, but the point is, we have a responsibility to be the light, to let it shine. That's not getting in people's face and say, you're wrong because Sunday is not the right day of worship, and you're wrong because of this, and you're wrong because of that. Nope, that doesn't do it. We, individually, we need to make a deliberate choice with full intention to be aware that we are to be shining as lights to this darkened world at all times, in all circumstances. We become aware, and then we act. And some may ask, how? How do we do this? Well, I think a great place for us to start is by praying for others and caring for others, whether they be in or out of the body of Jesus Christ. We come in contact with all kinds of people. Most of us come in contact with more people who are not part of the body than are in the body. Well, I probably come more, I mean, just out and about, I see more people, but I don't really interact with more people. But I know you know what we're saying here. But we're to especially do this by start by praying for others and caring for others, especially for all believers, part of the body of Jesus Christ, part of the Church of God, no matter which congregation where they attend. Also, because this is the answer to the question, okay, you say to do this, and so how do we do this? I'm trying to give some ways of how we do this. Another one would be that we also, in our comforting and encouraging others, and this comes about by really knowing and living by the Word of God. So it has to start by us really digging in and knowing what this book says, knowing what it says, studying, praying about it, fasting about it, meditating over it, understanding it, putting into practice in our own lives so that we can know how to give comfort and encouragement to others from the Word of God in the different circumstances that we all come in contact with it when we do it in other people. And I would think mostly we do this by understanding that Jesus lives within those begotten by His Holy Spirit, and that, brethren, makes us set apart. Please also understand that makes us holy. Please also understand that makes us privileged. The world is in darkness, and we're in light. Go with me to 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, or as it could be translated, you are a purchased people. Now, everyone out there, for them to be purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ is there for them all. They just haven't accepted it yet, and we have. That is one of the things that makes them still in darkness and we're in light. That we understand this, we realize this, we accept this, we change our lives as a result of this. You are a holy nation, a peculiar people, so that you may show forth the praises of Him, or that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him, as it says in a couple of other translations that I really like. Who has called you out of darkness, I didn't write this, into His marvelous light. I started this off in reading these verses because I made the statement that we are set apart, that we are holy, that we are privileged, and I'm showing you how that is, because we have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Not everyone is, yet. And let me state here, if any of you have any doubts that you were chosen as a royal priesthood, that you were part of this, then do a Bible study. I'm not going to do it here as part of this message, but you can do it on your own. But read, study, Bible study on Ephesians 1 and see that it is all about God's powerful calling. You have been called. We have been called into this. Called into out of darkness into His marvelous light. Ephesians 1 talks about His calling into that. So I mean, please realize, God has chosen us out of this darkened world to be what Israel failed to be, and that is a people, as we read in this verse, a people for His own possession, so that we may proclaim the excellency of Him. I told you I like that translation better. Who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what we've been called for. God has chosen us for that purpose, to be called out of darkness, to be in His marvelous light, so that we can show this to others, and as a result of that, God is magnified. Doesn't really magnify us. And if we're going around and yell, look at me, how bright I am and how smart I am and all. No, we're missing the point. It all is to show, it's part of the will of God. I made that statement at the very beginning. This is all part of the will of God. And it is all for the purpose of glorifying God. We were called into the light. I said this earlier, and I'm adding it here. To go back into the darkness to proclaim the marvelous light, and that light is Jesus Christ. This is still under that question that some of may ask, how? How do we do this? Brother, we also need to be living like the temple of God that we have been called to be. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now, you can put Galatians 2:20 here again. The Holy Spirit and Jesus living in the Holy Spirit and Jesus are two separate things. We understand that's the power of God, and one is the Son of God. Galatians 2 says that Jesus Christ lives in us, and we live now by the faith of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. But we are also understand so that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defile the temple of God, listen to this. Him shall God destroy? Now, this is really important for us to understand. And I know we get it, but I want to read it. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. He's talking about the church of God. There's not a problem with different administrations, but we're all part of the same body. And we have to understand that, and we need to treat all people of all parts of the body of Jesus Christ as if we're all brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And the reason is because we are. We are all part of the same temple. We are all part of this, which temple you are. Now, does our life live like that? It's a yes or no. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Remember back over in 1 Peter, we said, you're a holy people, you're a purchased people. It says peculiar people, and I said it could be stated, could be translated as a purchased people. We are a purchased people. We are. And you are not your own, because it belongs to God. It belongs to Jesus Christ. We all need to consider the point that light is useless if it is not visible. So if we have been called to light so that we can reflect Jesus Christ in us, so as a result of that, we are glorifying the Father because we have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. If we aren't shining as that marvelous light, then our light is not visible. And if you have a light and you turn it out, what is its purpose at that time? Other than, well, I just want the room to be dark and I'm going to sleep. It's not my point. You want the light to be there and the bulb burns out. How good is that bulb? Not much. Not much. It's not doing its purpose. We need to consider the point that a light is useless if it is not visible. It cannot shine into the darkness if it is not turned on or if it is not put on display for others to see. That's the illustration that Jesus gave when he says, you can't light a candle and put it under a bushel. You put it up on the hill so that everybody can see it. You light it and everybody in the house can see it. That's his point. That's what he's saying. That it has to be visible, has to be usable. For it to be usable, it has to be visible. Just as a lamp gives light to everyone in the house, that's what we read, therefore, we must shine our light so that others must see our good deeds. That's also what we read. And therefore, glorify God the Father. I know I keep saying the same thing in different ways, all coming back to the same point. I got it. I understand. Now, please go with me to Philippians 2 and verse 14. Philippians 2, 14. This is still all part of, some may ask, okay, you say we need to do this, so how do we do it? This is another part of how we can do it. Philippians 2, 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. It didn't say do some things, consider. It said, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless, or that you may be faultless, and that you may be harmless, or that you may be innocent. I'm using other words that the same word could be translated into and is translated into various translations. The sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We had a death announcement today. This man was a longtime member in the Church of God. As far as I know, he lived his life just like everybody else. You know, we all make mistakes. We all fall short of the glory of God in various areas. We understand that. But he tried to live his life in a righteous way as he understood. He's tried to be a light into the world. And as Paul is saying, and as it is saying here, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, in other words, in the return of Jesus Christ, that I have not run in vain, but neither labored in vain. Neither did Paul said, and neither do people who die in Jesus Christ. Neither should our lives be. Now, the point is, we all know that it is not always easy for us not to murmur or dispute or grumble or complain about things. I mean, consider it this way. After all, that seems to be the norm for the world. Yet, brethren, we also need to remember, which we've been seeing, we are called to not dispute, not grumble, complain, murmur. But we have been called to be the blameless and the innocent as the children of God without blame. Or without blemish. We have been called to shine as lights in the world, so that others who are still now sitting in darkness might see the light of the world. Jesus Christ in us. Notice this principle over in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership shall righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? The point here is that we cannot claim to be in the light while being involved with those who walk in darkness. Now, that's a big topic in itself, and I'm not really going in, but the principle is there. This is what we're focusing on. In fact, John, the apostle, states that it is not possible to claim to be in the light and yet walk with those in darkness. Go with me to 1 John 1. 1 John 1 verse 6 and 7. 1 John 1 verse 6. And we'll read this in the NIV. If we claim to have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not live the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Okay, now notice with me Isaiah 49, verse 6. Isaiah 49 and verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation unto the end of the earth. The point here, brethren, is God wanted the nation of Israel to be a light to the world around them, to bring, as it says, them to the one true God. Verse 3 from the NIV says, "And he said unto me, You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor, my glory." So, brother, think about this. How else was God's splendor or glory? How else would it be known? It could have been known to the nations, to the Gentile nations around Israel, by their being an example of obedience and living God's way of life. Therefore, God would bless them. And yet, as we know, Israel failed to do so. They failed to shine as lights to the Gentiles around them. And yet, apparently, Israel is going to have another opportunity because God is going to restore the nations of Israel back to them to be a light for the Gentiles so that God's salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. What we need to understand, this is also talking about us, the church of God. Acts 13 and verse 47. Acts 13, verse 47. "For so has the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set you as a light of the Gentiles, that you should be the salvation unto the ends of the earth." And here Paul is quoting from Isaiah 59 in verse 6, and he is speaking to a mixed audience, a mixed multitude here, of both Jew and Gentile. This is what God is speaking today to the church of God. We're a mixture of Jew and Gentile, the church of God, to be the light for the Gentiles in order that, as the verse says, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Wow. To be called as lights today, to be part of the church of God, is this part of what we've been called for? I think so. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5. "You are all the children of light and the children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness." He's talking to the church. "Therefore, brethren, if we are the children of light and if we are the children of the day, as opposed to being the children of darkness and the children of the night," and the reason they're different is because they have a different father, just putting it real simple, "then it becomes obvious that we should be walking in the day and in the light." And I think the point is simple. It is much easier for us, and for that matter for anyone else, is much easier for us to stumble and fall in the darkness than if we are walking in the light. That's simple. We turn on the light, it's much easier to see. He's saying we're to be examples. The church is to be examples to the world around us of living God's way of life. We are not of the night or of the world. We are to be part of that light to the world. And I think all of us would certainly agree that the world needs to be delivered out of darkness, and only light can overcome the darkness. The world needs truth. John 1, verse 1. We read these. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." That's truth. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Of course we know that we cannot overcome anything on our own. It is only by the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that we can overcome. We see that through the Passover. We see that through the days of unleavened bread. Powerful lessons there. Go with me to Acts 4 and verse 12. Acts 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. He is the light of the world, and we are to be reflecting his light in us onto others to glorify the Father. Go with me now, if you would, to Psalm 43 and verse 3. Psalm 43 and verse 3. 43 verse 3. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto your holy hill. That's the church of God. And to your tabernacles. He's talking about bringing to the church to live your way of life. Boy, the purpose of shining out as lights into the world, reflecting Jesus Christ in us. So, as we conclude this message, I want to ask what I asked very early. Have some of us in the Church of God fallen asleep? Or are we up and shining bright lights? I mean, the thing is, after all, we have been called to be light and the darkness of this world today. Where are we? Which are we doing? So, we examine ourselves asking, are we flickering or shining? The ironic blessing? Pay attention to these words. I mean, I know we do this every time. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, speaking to Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are so blessed as being part of the light of Jesus Christ in a darkened world. We love you all. Happy Sabbath. God bless you.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.